I'd like to consider a scripture in the 15th chapter of John. In the fourth verse it says, I am the true vine. It makes me to think that there must be some false ones. There must be things out there that's not true. Because he put an emphasis on that he was the true vine. You know, we have what we call battles. Everybody understands the idea of that. The difficulties we call battles in this living for the Lord. And I find that in battles that there's always objectives. I've liked to study and look into the battles of history. And they all had objectives. So the men in charge set out to say, in the idea of winning the war, we're going to have to accomplish something here, and they make an objective to gain. In the South Pacific, for instance, there was times that they would see an island that had an airport or an airfield on it, and they would want that airfield. We're going to get that airfield, and they would plan it out that we're going to take that. That's our objective, and then they would find out that the airfield may be clear, but they can't just go on it because the enemy's in the mountains. And they made an objective of how they had to, in order to use that, they're going to have to eliminate them. And their objective was to get that mountain. We're going to have to clear it of the enemy. We're going to have to win that before we can ever use the artillery. Going to get it out of there, all that. But there was an objective. And over history, you can find out in all the battles from Gettysburg to the great battles of World War II, from D-Day to the Battle of the Bulge, they all had particular objectives that was trying to be accomplished. The devil has an objective tonight. He has an objective. He wants to ruin us. Really, his objective is total collapse and defeat. There's no pity or mercy. He wants to see total ruining of us. But he can't do it. Thank the Lord. They can't do that. So there's a place that all of his guns are pointed at. Because it is where we will ultimately collapse. He can try to get us upset at one another. But that don't have to work. He can try to drive us into carnal actions or sinful actions. That don't have to work. All of his guns are pointed at something tonight. A place that I really want to look at, because my burden is, and it has been for a long time, that we be real. This is the true vine. I'm not interested in no false vines. I want to be true. I want us to be true. I want us to be truly happy. I want us to be truly fulfilled. I want us to have it truly the way we're supposed to have it and be the real thing in our time. And the devil don't want us to be that. So there's a place here. As I read this, I think it'll become evident. There's a place here that is of the utmost importance to us. That it makes the difference of what we really are. Because the devil really isn't really concerned about how good I am. Or how good I think I am. Or what I can accomplish. You know, the devil really isn't worried about my... He don't take offense at my humanity. He's not trying... There's some other place that he knows that if he gets it, he's gotten me. This scripture says, Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says, abide in me. Abide in me. And I in you. That is victory tonight, folks. Our relationship with the Lord is what this is all about. And it's where every one of his guns is pointed tonight. If he can sever us from the vine, he will take everything else away. He doesn't have to be worried about everything else, because the only victory that we have is in Christ. That is our message. Our message is that Christ is our victory. And our message is that every individual in here is to have that connection with Christ. An uninterrupted connection with Christ. It is the only answer I have for anyone. I mean, we can go through some details of things, and we can talk about how better to get there or what it means to be hooked in. But folks, I have no other answer to life than this. If you have problem loving somebody, I can tell you of all human things you may do to try to warm yourself to them, but it won't work. I'll tell you something that will work in your problem. You need to hook into the vine. That'll change the situation. That's the victory. You may say, I'm having some trouble. I'm having trouble getting victory over some things my eyes are looking at. Let me tell you how to get some victory over that. Hook into this. This is where the victory's at. And it's where the devil's got all of these guns pointed tonight. He wants to sever you from Christ. In some way, in some order, he wants to try to get you off the thinking there's something else or some other way, or this makes sense or something like that. When it comes down to this, we need to be hooked to the vine. That's the bottom line. And it's the message the Lord gives me repeatedly and repeatedly in many different ways. You need a personal relationship with the Lord tonight. And all of those problems, I'm going to tell you, the history will bear this out. The history of God's people will bear this out. That when they had a hold of the Lord, abiding in the Lord and He in them, the most severe things could come to their life and not rock them, not move them. They still had it. It doesn't matter. The most hateful events could come to their lives. The most cruel things could happen to them in their life. The biggest loss of the possessions that they had and the valuables that they had and the people that they loved and taking everything away from them. The rug pulls out, all those things. And what happens when they're hooked to the vine? They stay true. It can't be one. The devil knows that he can't beat us. He knows he can't beat the Lord. He knows that he can't beat the Lord as long as we're hooked with the Lord. So everything he tries to do is to one objective. He's to move you away from the vine, from being hooked in. Now let's think about this. He says, abide in me. As in many scriptures, it's obvious I have a part in this. He didn't say, I'm going to grab a hold of you and hook you in without your say. He says, abide in me. Well, does that mean a one time? What do you think of the terminology there? That means I go shuffle. Some people believe you just go and make a profession and that does you forever, right? Just one good, no. He says, abide in me. Live in me by faith and love, accepting the word of God into my life. Abide in me. It means that it's something I'm putting myself in. I'm hooking up. I want the Lord in this. So he says, you. This is the true vine. This isn't a false vine. This is the true vine. You're going to have to... You, if you want victory tonight, The guns of the devil are pointed right. This is what he's trying to do to each and every one of us, keep us from abiding in the Lord. Because he knows he has no recourse. He can't touch me any other way. He can't do anything to me as long as I'm in the Lord. What was the devil's intent with Job? Was it that he didn't want him to have camels? He was trying to rock his confidence in being abiding. He had been abiding. Did he do it? He was abiding in the Lord. He was abiding in God. And he tried all these things to rock him. When he got through, Job just simply said, "Come in naked, naked I'll leave." And he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." God's still real. He's still done this. So regardless of all those things around it, you want victory like that? Well, maybe if I can, maybe if you guys can encourage me enough, or maybe I like all the peripherals. I like the encouragement now, all those kind of things. What do we encourage in each other to? Hang on, brother. What do we encourage anything? What do we have to say to one another? Jesus? Jesus? I don't know any other answer. I don't believe in any other answer. I believe in a God that claimed that he had all power in heaven and earth. I believe Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. I don't believe the devil can beat us. I don't think that the trials that he can come, I don't think that anything of this earth that man has ever faced can take us down while we're abiding. Amen. So, the devil wants to do something in your life to sever that, to shake your confidence in it. He says, if you'll abide in me and me in you. Well, what do I have about that? But you know, I have a part in that too. Because as the vine, there's an illustration here. As the vine brings the sap, as the juice of the comes through that, it's going to go into the branches. It's the support of it. It's what gives it life. It's what's going to make it bear fruit. Other than that, it's going to be nothing. But it's the vine can supply to it. Jesus wants us to abide in him, and he wants to do something now. You know what he wants to do? He wants to be an influence. That's what this is. It's flowing. It's flowing in, and he wants to be an influence into our lives. Do you know that the Lord, listen, I know that we can, our culture can even help do this, but we somehow want to claim or say in this Christian thing that there's these guys up here. You know, the preachers, we call them. The preachers, the ministers, the upper people. They'll tell you right. You follow them and they'll do right. You know, there is an honor there for the work's sake. There is a brotherly thing there. But God never intended for you to have to look to a man for that. You know, he didn't say here, now, you're going to be a twig, I'm the vine, and the ministers are the branches, and you'll get to be a twig as long as you abide in your minister. Thank God it isn't that way. Because when he falls off the branch, off the vine, you're falling off too. That's not the idea. The idea is that we're to edify. We're to do jobs and gifts. I'm sure of all that. But you need to abide in the Lord. And you need to be willing for the influence of God. To influence your life directly. Directly influencing into your life. It is a bad substitute. Listen to me. It is a bad substitute to have a man do that for you. It isn't supposed to be so. The ministers are to say, I'll point you to Jesus. Somebody come to me and say, Brother Marty, do you think I ought to move? That's way above my job title. That's Holy Ghost stuff. That's God stuff. Yeah, maybe if I pray and get down serious with the Lord, maybe he'll witness the same thing to me if you need that and all that. But you don't have to rely on me to know something about your life. That's That's a poor substitute. There is people and things out there that all they rely totally on men. Men, tell us what we're supposed to do. How are we supposed to act? Where are we supposed to go? I hope that we never get into the place, anybody here gets into the place that you feel you have to have that, because that's Jesus' place. He owns that. He wants you to abide in Him to the place that you can be confident that He's going to abide in you. And that abiding is His Spirit flowing into you to lead you and guide you and direct you through scriptures and songs and through the influence of His Spirit, that you can know that the Lord is dealing with you and you can be confident about your moves. Over in about Acts 3 somewhere there was a story of Peter. Peter's going along, I think he heals the lame man, you remember that? And the people, oh, they said they wonder. What great wondering. They wondered, oh, they followed him around. And Peter said, why do you wonder at this and look at us as if by our own power and holiness we raised this man up? Praise the Lord for Peter and men like him. You know how many people would say, uh-huh, come on along, you want to see something? I got it for you. Give me your money. He said, it was Jesus. It wasn't us. You think we have some special line to God that gives us information for you? We get messages. We get those kind of things. But He wants to be your God. This is so important. And the reason it's important, because it's a relationship that cannot be destroyed by the times that we live in. It can't be destroyed by the difficulties or the persecutions or the things that come in our day. It cannot be destroyed, but it's perpetual. It's continual. It doesn't end today. I've got it hooked up now and I'm hooked up good. No, abiding means that you're still there. You're still living there. If you're going to abide, you're going to have to keep doing it. And you're going to have to make sure that you're hooked in. You have to make sure that it's still coming in. The influence is coming in. And it reminds me of the scripture where Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you'd asked me for a drink, I would have given you water to drink that you would thirst no more. Well, that'd be pretty neat to have a natural water. That wasn't what He was talking about. It's going to be in you a fountain. Springing up. It's going to be something in you. That fountain stops flowing when we stop abiding. What's coming in there is through the Spirit of God. And it's a very important thing. I want to stress it to us in this day and time. Well, it isn't that we're being independent of one another. I'm going to tell you something. Our true fellowship together is dependent upon us abiding in Jesus. We say, well, that sounds awful independent. You just do your thing. You do your thing. Folks, our fellowship depends on me abiding in the Lord and you abiding in the Lord. And Him abiding in me and Him abiding in you. He won't do it wrong. He'll do it right. It'll produce the same fruit. It'll produce the same desires. It'll produce the same power to love one another, be forbearing of one another, and forgiving one another, and being merciful to one another. It'll produce the same thing in all of us when we do. It's so necessary. It is so important that that's where the devil's guns are hooked into right now. And we will get us on all the peripherals. We'll look around. We'll be looking around at all the peripherals and trying to solve problems on the peripherals. We'll be saying, well, they did deal with this, or how we deal with this, or all this. And right in the middle of it, there's one big solution. Abide in me. Get back to the abiding. Why is that bothering me so much? That hurts me. You hurt me. What you said is this, this. And there's a old devil sitting back. I'm trying to cut him right here. I'm going to get him away from this very simple point. That if they're hooked up with Jesus, I can't touch him. So I'm going to have to move him away from that. If we will abide in Him. He said, abide in me. You take the initiative. Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Oh, Lord, help us to get this down good. It cannot bear fruit of itself. We cannot do this without being connected to the Lord, to the vine. We've got to be connected to the vine. If we're not, we're not going to bear the fruit. But yet we see something. There's something happens. What is it then? The fruit of our own ideas? The fruit of our own self? Something comes from that. And it's less than pure and it's less than working. Lord, help us not to substitute. We'll tell you, man rule, man's ways. There's always a man that wants to do it, and there's always people that want to do it. There's always people that want somebody to just say, tell me how to do it, and there's always men that wants to do it. And Lord, help us not to fall for that. And we don't. And I thank the Lord for the ministers, but we're not ones that lift ourselves up. We're lifting Christ up in this. There's other substitutes that people have of what a place that the Lord wants to abide in us. He wants that place of relationship with us. But if we're not careful, we put something else in there as a substitute. You may have heard me tell this. It was several years ago, I knew a young girl that had told me that the Lord had condemned her of smoking. She smoked, and she told us that the Lord had condemned her of smoking, and she quit. Well, sometime later, I come back around, and she was smoking again. Well, it's hard for me to leave something like that alone. So I went and said, what are you doing? Well, she's smoking again. Yeah, and I said, I thought the Lord condemned you of that. Well, she said, well, did he change his mind? I mean, the Lord changed his mind. Was just saying this about, and she said, yeah, I know. And I said, you know what's wrong with smoking? Yeah, I know what's wrong with smoking. Everybody tells me what's wrong with smoking. Yeah, you're hurting your temple. And yeah, I said, yeah, it's true. Yeah, I think that's true. I do believe that. It's worldly. Yeah, I think that.